Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us on the program today. Watering, problem that many of us face. Tree Diaper has the solution to that problem.
Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water on the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees when they are by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced gardener, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. It's made in the USA. You can find all the information at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
Well, whenever it comes to techniques or tips, people always are excited to learn things in which they can make the job easier. I think it wasn't it Mark Twain that said, give a tough job to a lazy person and they'll figure out how to make it easier or something like that.
I think it was something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm paraphrasing.
Somebody's probably shaking their fist at the radio right now.
Kitchen hacks.
Kitchen hacks.
We see a lot of these online if you're on social media, but not all of them are accurate or even somewhat correct. It's more of a, exciting click, click, click type of thing rather than an actual, hey, this really works thing.
And sometimes it's like use coffee filters to line something and you're like that coffee filter is going to break down immediately, essentially.
So we've got a handful of them here that will help you. One, let's start with...
this is your...
Yeah, the pudding. Whenever you go to the store, because we all don't, or even if you've picked your own, your berries, your strawberries, your raspberries, your blackberries, whatever the case is, put them in a glass mason jar and then seal them up, whether you're using an actual lid or, some type of aluminum foil, something to seal the air in and keep the air out. And we find that by doing this, the strawberries last about 2 to 3 times longer. You put the whole strawberry in there. The berries last 2 or 3 times longer than just keeping them in the little plastic container that you get from the store. It's amazing how this works. It's really cool because these things are not cheap to purchase. And then if you can keep them for 2 to 3 times longer, you're not having to buy and eat right away. You can kind of plan things out a little bit better.
Yeah. So another one, and I like this one because I like to eat eggs and I'm not always sure if my eggs are good or not. So you take a bowl of water and then you put your egg in there. And if it floats, it means it's no good.
If it floats, it's a nope.
Yeah, it's a no. But if it sinks, you're A-okay or something. No, there's a little rhyme for that.
I mean, and whenever many of you may have chickens and this is not a concern to you, but you'd be surprised of the time frame from when a chicken's egg is harvested to the time it gets to your grocery store. It can be not just days, it can be weeks in order. And, they check the eggs and all this other stuff. But there is a time shelf on these things, and you want to check them if it's questionable, because there's nothing worse than cooking with a bad egg and then potentially getting you sick and everybody else sick.
Right, especially because you might not.
Here's the thing.
You could try to smell the egg, but you might, if you're making like a, some over easy eggs, you're not going to sit there and try to smell an egg as you're putting into the hot pan.
And a dozen eggs is like on average $2.50. That's a whole lot cheaper to throw out than a hospital visit.
Right.
Even with good insurance.
Right. Exactly. So this is another one of your hacks, is peeling the garlic by shaking it in the two bowls.
Okay. So you take two aluminum mixing bowls. One, usually get like a large one and a medium one and a tiny one. So what you can do is take the large one and the medium one and invert them, put the garlic inside of them and vigorously shake. And for whatever reason, the metal on the bowls react to the skin and causes the skin virtually to fall off, or makes it to the point where it's so simple and easy to just flake it off. So it works. It's very loud, but it works really, really well. So you're going to take two. I guess they're aluminum pans, aren't they, Holly, or some type of
aluminum, like stainless steel.
Stainless steel bowls. Mixing bowls.
Yeah.
And then you just take and enclose them and just shake it violently, and the skins will pop off.
Yeah, it's pretty ingenious, I would say. So then another one, and this one I like, is making your own buttermilk or sour milk. Now it won't taste and it won't be as thick as like true buttermilk, but it gets it to that curdly acidity. So if you're making like buttermilk pancakes or a baked good where it requires buttermilk,
right?
It's the same scientific concept. So what you do is you take a tablespoon of lemon juice, like bottled lemon juice or white vinegar, to 1 cup of milk. So that's your equation.
Yeah, okay.
Measurement.
Mixture.
Whatever. And then you just stir it. You just leave it for a few minutes. And then
the acidity of the lemon juice will break down.
It kind of sours it.
Sours it. So yeah. It's a cheap version of buttermilk.
Yeah, it's like maybe you don't need
the redneck version.
Yeah, the redneck version, or maybe you just don't need, you know, maybe right. You don't need a pint or a quart or whatever buttermilk.
Because there are some people that buttermilk is their choice of beverage. They like the buttermilk. I like the buttermilk. Buttermilk is good. I like, you like buttermilk like you like rhubarb pie. So that's a...
I mean, it's not for me. But okay. I like buttermilk ranch.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a quick, easy way to make a little small version of kind of buttermilk if you need it. To do that. When you're reheating baked goods, put a glass of water in the microwave, and that will help keep things moist and not cause them to dry out.
Right.
Like a brick.
So it's not like a hockey puck, essentially. So this is something like you could do this with leftover pizza, garlic breadsticks, things like that.
I did find this out. You know, we've all got the clamping, you know, the George Foreman or the Hampton, whatever, the grill that closes that you can cook hamburgers on and all the grease runs off. If you get one of those pita things from Taco Bell and you put it in the microwave, it dries out really bad. But if you reheat it in that, it's just like it came off the grill. At
like
the
a quesadilla?
Just like you got it from the – you can let it sit in the fridge for 2 days, redo that just like you got it from the drive-thru.
Well, look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good job. So there you go. There's another reheating. We have an air fryer.
Right.
And
best thing we ever bought besides a printer that we have. But that's besides the point.
And we bought a cheap one. I think it was like $50 or something. And it was questionable for a minute. And now it's working well again. But
it got scared that we were going to get rid of it.
I think so. But that is amazing for reheating a lot of leftovers.
It gets rid of the grease.
Yeah.
And actually makes the food taste better.
It does. And like French fries, if you have leftover French fries, you can reheat them in there.
Now, for people who don't know what an air fryer is, it's simply basically an oven that pushes the air around with a fan and actually cooks things the way things should be cooked.
Yeah.
It doesn't cook one side more than the other. It actually, you know, does. I mean, with fries, you have to shake the basket. But other than that, it adds more crisp to it, adds more taste to it. It doesn't dry it out. It keeps the moisture in it. Really good.
And you can put all sorts of stuff in there. You don't have to just put
I cooked an egg in there for you. I put it in a glass pan and cooked the egg in there for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you not remember that?
No.
It must have been that bad, huh?
Anyway, the air fryer, and you don't have to just cook frozen things. You can cook, people put asparagus in there, zucchini.
Oh, anything.
Anything. Yeah. Lots of good stuff. So we put, what was that? Did we do sunchokes in
sunchokes
there?
Sunchokes in there. Sunchoke chips. The Jerusalem artichokes are sunchokes. Scrub them, and here's the key we found. Peel them first, then cut them thin, roll them or shake them in some olive oil, and fry them in the air fryer. Absolutely phenomenal. If you leave the skin on, they're going to have an earthy taste. No matter how much you scrub the skins, you want to peel the skins. It's just the best way to go on that.
Right. And some people, if you buy an air fryer, you can put like a whole chicken in it. Ours, I don't think would hold a whole chicken, but it's an option if you get a big enough one. So the air fryer. So you can reheat. Here's another tip. You can reheat your pasta dishes in the microwave more evenly by putting a hole in the middle. So if you got like a plate of spaghetti, you kind of just take it and move the spaghetti aside so that there's like a center.
Like
hole.
It's a donut. Like a donut.
Like a donut. Yeah. Like a spaghetti donut.
Right.
Yeah. Yum. But that's how microwaves work. Is I guess they cook from the inside out.
And some people really don't like using a microwave because they have found that when using a microwave, they don't feel good after eating or days after because of the waves of the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
If they keep away from the microwave for weeks, they feel a lot more healthier, I guess is the term. They don't feel so icky inside. There is scientific and doctors have told people if you're having issues, and we're not doctors, so don't quote us on this, talk to your physician, that avoid cooking things in the microwave can actually improve your health. Now, I think there is some truth to that somehow, somewhere. So take that for what it's worth.
Right. So there's that. So then another hack is to, if you have a microwave that maybe has like some crusted food on the inside, you can take a
because
sponge.
Because the chili exploded or,
chili, yeah, uh-huh. or spaghetti or, you know, whatever. You can take a sponge and put it, you know, get it damp, put it in the microwave for about a minute or so, and then it will help, A, disinfect the sponge, and B, that steam hotness will help loosen the inside of the microwave, like the grime or whatever.
Yep, keeping that moisture in the microwave, just like we talked about with the baked good, adding that moisture will make a great big difference when it comes to cleaning it as well as cooking in it too.
Yeah, so another thing you can do is if you want to save your pans a bit, you can use parchment paper. And not everybody thinks about this. I thought everybody knew this, and I've told people this, and they think it's absolutely brilliant. So you can use the parchment paper, especially if you don't have muffin tin things. What are those called? Muffin liners?
Muffin liners. Yeah,
you can use parchment paper for that. Especially if you cook something like stinky or like fish
right.
or like a garlic, you can save your pans that way, or greasy, oily, whatever.
That's a great way to limit the amount of cleaning that you need to do if you can put that parchment paper or on the bottom of those things. Also, whenever in the microwave, to keep the stuff exploding, just paper towel on top of it. I mean, it seems simple, but it works very well.
Right. And then it's not really a hack. It's more of like a safety thing. Know how to put out kitchen fires.
Have a fire extinguisher.
Have a fire extinguisher, but also know like...
That works.
That works, right?
It's not a decor item. Right. That it works.
Yeah. And they sell all sorts of like mini kitchen... home extinguishers
right.
all over, you know, you can find them pretty easily.
Because I know what people are thinking, well, it's $27. $27 is a cheap price to pay than having to rebuild the kitchen or half the house.
Right. Or put a claim on your renter's insurance.
Right. $27 yeah. for an item that you hope and cross your fingers and pray you never, ever need to use.
Exactly.
And you want to check it. These things do expire. Every year,
right.
you want to check it. I don't know what the life expectancy on it, but in our area, where we live, we have it checked every year, and it either gets recharged or replaced because we much rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
But there's also ways you can put kitchen
True.
Fires out. You can, like, dump baking soda or flour on grease fires.
Cover them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you don't want to put water on a grease
right.
fire.
Right. Be smart of what you're cooking. If, for example, you've got a gas range and you've got a lot of splattering of grease – be careful what else you turn on or what's going on around you or what's there, because that grease can be ignited by another burner, or even if it's not a gas range, things can get ignited in ways that you didn't know was possible because you never thought about it.
And I'm going to segue
yes,
into a little hack, not hack, but October is fire safety month. And so there you go. And also you should check your smoke detector batteries. When we change the clocks back, is that in October?
November.
Oh, well,
in the United States, it's November.
October is fire safety month. So think about being smart in your kitchen and safe.
With that being said, summer is over. Nights are getting cooler. Kids are in school. And we talked about it earlier in the show, but you've forgotten about your lawn. And there's some things that you shouldn't have forgot about it because.
Right. Just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about our yard and those Japanese beetles. They may be gone, but they're not far. Not only did they feast on your roses and berries this summer, they laid eggs in your turf so that they can start again next year. You take a stand with Phylum's GrubGon. GrubGon is a non-chemical BT granular that specifically targets scarab pests and their larvae. All you do is you apply with a spreader area into soil and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
The best part about it is GrubGon is easy to use, and it's the non-chemical choice that effectively controls grubs. And the best part about it, it's safe to be used around butterflies, bees, and other beneficial insects. So you don't have to worry about getting it on the petals and then them taking it back to their hives and toxifying the hives and killing them off. It's Grub Gone from PhylumBioproducts.com, the natural choice. That's PhylumBioproducts.com, bioproducts.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.